The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and I'll begin reading at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that he have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew it not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men hath committed much, of him they will ask the more. Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading from his word. If you're regularly here on Sunday evenings, you'll know that The title Jesus most used of himself is Son of Man. And we're going through Luke's Gospel, looking at all the occasions in which Jesus uses that particular title for himself, Son of Man. It was a title that spoke of the fact that he was truly God, who'd become truly man, that he was God manifest in the flesh. And in the reading that we've just had, Jesus just taught the great need of everyone, far above our physical needs and all our concerns that we may have in life, is to seek, doesn't say it in Luke's Gospel, it does elsewhere though, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, Jesus says, this needs to be your priority in life. This needs to be the most important thing of all to you, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How do we do that? Well, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness when we seek to be admitted into the kingdom of God. When we confess our sinfulness to God, we thank God for sending his Son to be a savior of sinners. We thank God that Jesus, the Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh, came into this world, lived a life of perfect obedience to God, unlike all of us, and died on the cross, suffering for sins, so that sinners like us, on faith in him, could be forgiven all our sins. But it's not enough just to confess our sinfulness and thank God for sending his Son to be a savior. We need to prayerfully ask Jesus to save us a sinner. And that's how a sinner is admitted into the kingdom of God. That's how we first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But then what of when we become a Christian? What of when we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are part of his kingdom? Well, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness then by personally seeking to advance in that kingdom, to become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become more holy in our lives, to make use of the word of God and prayer that God has given to us, to know, to believe and obey God's word, to have communion with God in prayer, to gather with other believers in the worship of God, to observe the ordinances of baptism and communion, so that we advance in the kingdom of God. So we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness when we seek to be admitted into it through faith in Christ. But having been admitted into the kingdom of God, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness by personally seeking then as Christians to advance in that kingdom, become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So having sought admission into the kingdom of God, seeking to advance in the kingdom of God, we also, now having faith in Christ Jesus, are to seek the advancement of the kingdom of God. So from our life, seeking to be more and more like Christ, we are to tell others what great things the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We are to seek to prayerfully and practically support the preaching of the good news of salvation in Jesus throughout the world. And we're to do that so that the people that we speak to and those that we support who are speaking to others, as a result of it, there'll be those who come to faith in Christ and the kingdom of God grows and advances. And the person who does this seeks first the kingdom of God, makes it their priority in life to be admitted into that kingdom by faith in Christ, to advance in that kingdom by becoming more like Christ, and to seek the advancement of that kingdom by making Christ known. Jesus says to them, all that you need will be added to you, given to you. All that you practically really need. Don't be over-concerned. Not all that you want. Our wants can so often be well above what we need. But all that you need will be added to you. However, not only does Jesus make clear here that money and all the material things we can have with it and all the worldly pleasures there are shouldn't be the priority in our lives, but knowing God through faith in Christ, seeking to be more like Christ, more holy, and seeking to serve Christ, make him known. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He doesn't just tell us that because then comes the promise. If you do that, you needn't be concerned about your practical needs because God will meet them for you. He primarily does this, he goes on to make clear, is so that we're prepared, we're not caught out when Christ comes again, or if he calls us away through death before his coming again. And Jesus, from verse 35 in that reading in Luke 12, gives a parable to show the importance of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that we're prepared for when Jesus comes again. And in the parable, he speaks about an Oriental lord going off to a wedding. Now, at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, these sort of weddings could last a couple of days, even a lot longer than that. The weddings that we have today, what they cost, can you imagine what they would cost if they lasted a week or 2 weeks? But they used to go on for a long time. And the servants of this lord, they know the master's gone away to this wedding, but they know he will come back, but they don't know when exactly he's going to come back. So that being the case, Jesus says in the parable, these servants have to be ready and prepared for when the master came back from the wedding. So they wore loose garments in those days, and they had to have them tied up so they could move very quickly when the master came. And they had to have their lamps burning when the master came, so they'd be ready and prepared when he came back to open up to him. Well, in the parable, the Lord and Master on his return is so pleased. These servants were all ready, all prepared, and he shows his pleasure with them by getting them to sit down, and he gives them a meal. They're blessed by the Lord and Master, because when he came back, he found them watching and ready for when he returned. Now, obviously, in the parable, Jesus is speaking of himself under the figure of this Oriental Lord. He is the Lord and Master of all who trust in him to save them, a sinner. The servants represent believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. After all, if Jesus is our Savior, he's also our Lord and Master. And we're to do what he says. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" It's a total contradiction. None of us here can say Jesus is our Lord if we haven't got the intention, the desire, to do what he says in our lives, to obey him. It should be our aim, our goal, if he is our Lord, our Master, to do what he says. And in the parable, the Oriental Lord goes away to a wedding, but Jesus goes away from this world. He ascends back to the glory he had with the Father, exalted at the Father's right hand. Jesus told us when he was here, if he went away, he would return. He told his disciples that it was good for them he would go away. He would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. But he told them he would come again. And after his ascension, the apostles, writing by the direction of the Holy Spirit, spoke time and time again about Jesus coming again in power and in great glory, visibly, with great noise, once again. And Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament mention Jesus coming again 318 times. It's extraordinary when you think of the size of the New Testament that it happens 318 times. It's a central doctrine and teaching of the Bible. It's not one of those smaller things that are revealed to us in the Word of God. It's something that packs the New Testament. Jesus, as we sang, is coming again. But as these servants knew their Lord and Master would return, but they didn't know exactly when it would be. They didn't know what day it would happen, and they didn't know what time it would happen, whether it would be the second watch or the third watch. So the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know with absolute certainty, because Jesus, the apostles, tell us time and again, he is coming again. That is certain. But there is an uncertainty as to exactly when that will be. God clearly in his word wants you to know that Jesus is coming again, to be in no doubt about that whatsoever. And he makes it very clear when that happens, when Christ returns, we need to be ready and prepared for his coming again. But we don't know exactly when that will be. When I was a younger Christian, in the first, months of my Christian life, I had two men, supposedly they were invited to our church as Christian teachers, telling us exactly when Jesus was going to come again. They were really no different from the people in the cults that do that, but they were professing Christians. Well, they were in error when they said has long since gone. Just as when the cults have given different dates, they've long since gone. But how do you know when somebody does that is in error? Could they possibly be right? No, they can't. I'll tell you why. Jesus says this: of that day and hour knoweth no man. Nobody knows. So if anybody has the effrontery to say Jesus is coming back in 2025 on November the 7th at 3:30 in the afternoon, and somebody will have the audacity to say things like that, you know straight away they're teaching error. Not only does no man knoweth, no, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only, Jesus says. You see, throughout history in the past, when various things have happened, people have said, well, Jesus' coming is very imminent. It's bound to happen within a year or two, if not this year. So when there's been various wars that have taken place throughout history, when there's been various natural disasters like earthquakes and famine, or things introduced within a nation that are so contrary to the word of God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have said, the coming of the Lord Jesus again is very imminent. I can well remember before being converted and a few years after, various things happening worldwide and people telling me it meant that Jesus was just about to come again. Now, I've got to remember, as far as God is concerned, 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. As far as God is concerned, because he tells us in the Bible, the time between Jesus' first coming and second coming are the last days, the last times. No war, no earthquake and so on, no natural disasters, no moral spiritual decay in the nation are a sign that Jesus coming again is imminent. These things have all taken place throughout history. But it didn't mean Jesus was coming again. He didn't come again. One significant thing in the word of God that we're told will happen before Jesus comes again, which suggests it is perhaps increasingly imminent, is this. The gospel will be preached to all nations, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he said that, you could never imagine that possibly ever happening. The idea just seems totally remote, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be preached throughout the whole world to everyone. But in many respects, that is more and more being fulfilled. It's gone through more places in the world than it did 200 years ago, 100 years ago, and even 50 years ago. We're rapidly at a situation where the gospel has gone throughout the world. Also, prior to Jesus coming again, Jesus teaches there will be a time of great tribulation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for believers. Not in just some locality, some part of the world, that's always been the case, but throughout the whole world. And he tells us also in the Word of God, there will be a figure very much at the head of this, described as Antichrist, a figure in whom this opposition, worldwide opposition to Christ and his church, will culminate, will be focused. Once again, down through history, various figures have arisen in history, and Christians jumped on the bandwagon and said, oh, they must be the Antichrist. Jesus' return must be imminent. And those people came and they died, like Hitler and others, and Jesus didn't come again. So we have to be very, very careful in saying this person or that individual is this individual described as the Antichrist in the Word of God. Here is somebody that's almost going to have, as it were, a worldwide dominion and power that they use against Christ's church. So none of those things, the fact that the gospel is going to go throughout all nations, there's going to be a time of great tribulation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a figurehead behind it, Antichrist, tells us the exact time of Jesus coming again. So when exactly will he come again? Can you possibly put a time on it? Well, I can. I'll tell you right now when he's coming again. When he comes. Simple as that. When he comes. You see, this master in the parable, they didn't know when he was going to come back. They only knew he'd come back when he appeared. And he was there. And they were ready and prepared for his coming so they could open up to him. We can't pinpoint exactly when Jesus is going to come again. It's when he appears in power and great glory. And the important thing is, when it happens, as Jesus is making clear in this parable, as the servants were ready and prepared for their master's return, we need to be ready and prepared for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says if the master had known when a thief was coming, he would have watched out, he would be ready. But of course, you don't know when a thief's going to come. It'd be a foolish thief, wouldn't it, if they told you exactly at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to break in the back door. Well, you'd be down there waiting for them, and you'd have the police around waiting with you. You don't know. Thieves catch people out because they're not ready and prepared. And Jesus says here, for in such an hour as ye think not, he, the Son of Man, God manifested in the flesh, will come again. So Jesus, the Son of Man, is saying, my coming again is absolutely certain. But it's uncertain to you exactly when it will be. And if you are not very, very careful, you will be unprepared and caught out just like somebody would be by a thief coming in the night. So we need to be ready. That's what he's saying in this parable. We need to be prepared for when he comes again. But you may say, well, I don't think it's going to affect me that much because the health I'm in and the age I am, unless he comes pretty soon, I'm going to die before he comes again. So the state I'm in when he comes again is irrelevant. No, it isn't. The spiritual state you're in when you die will be the state that Christ, when he comes again, judges you in soul and body. So you are blessed in soul and body, or righteously punished in soul and body. So the state we are in when we die is very closely linked, of course, with Christ coming again and God's final judgment. And when everyone in soul and body, united, both of them, receives the just blessing of God or the just righteous punishment of God. You know, when somebody comes to visit your home, you probably want to know beforehand, don't you, they're coming, ideally. Because we all do it. We tidy up a little bit more. We put a few things away. You may even give another vacuum. But you just, you know, like somebody knocks on your door unexpectedly. When I go around visiting, so often, the first thing people ever say to me when I walk in is, excuse the mess. If I could tell you how many times I've been told, excuse the mess. Well, I couldn't care less, a home's to be lived in. But they nearly always say that. But you don't like to be caught out unprepared, do you? I've visited many ladies over the years, and to the great horror of some of them, I've called when they've had the curlers in. And they've been very upset about it, you know, because if they knew it was coming, they wouldn't have had them in, I can tell you that. Well, when Christ comes again, as these servants in Jesus' parable, we need to be ready and prepared. These servants couldn't say to the master, oh, just hang on a minute, just wait and fasten up their robes and get all ready so they could move about and do what they needed to do when he came back. They couldn't say to their master, hang on a minute, wait a minute, while we just get the lamps burning and lit for his return. But of course, we see in the parable, thankfully, these servants were ready and prepared for the master's return. And because they were wonderfully blessed by the master. He provides this meal, this feast for them. You see, when Christ comes again, or if he calls us beforehand, we need to be ready. And the way to be ready is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, if we're not admitted into it, we're not a part of it, we haven't acknowledged to God our sinfulness and trusted the Lord Jesus to be forgiven our sins, then we're totally unprepared for when he comes again. It speaks of his coming again in 2 Thessalonians 1. It says this, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be absolutely certain you're not ready to die and you're not ready for Christ coming again if you're not part of the kingdom of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've spoken to some non-Christians near the end of their lives, and they've said to me, I'm ready to die. And I've thought to myself, sadly, I wish you were. I wish you were. Because they're not. You're totally unprepared, not ready to die and meet with God if our sins against God haven't been forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we've repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been admitted by God's grace through faith in Christ into the kingdom of God. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be ready and prepared for Christ coming again or death if that happens beforehand, we need to seek to advance in the kingdom of God, to be more holy, godly men and women of God, more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't be able to say when Christ comes again, oh, just hang on and I'll get rid of that sin in my life that I know shouldn't be there, that I should have turned from a long time ago. We're not going to be able to say to Christ, oh, just hang on a minute. Well, I stop neglecting to pray, or stop neglecting to read and do your word. Or hang on a minute, because I've neglected to be baptized, or I've neglected to gather around the Lord's table. Wait, and I'll do those things. It's not possible for us as Christians to say to Christ when he comes again, well, just hang on. Just wait while I put things right in my spiritual life that are clearly so wrong. The time to do it is right now. Right now, immediately. Whatever's not right, to turn from it. And whatever we're not, and there are many things that God calls us to be in our lives, to more and more seek with God's help to be. Also, if we want to be ready for Christ coming again, or death if it comes beforehand, we should seek the advancement of the kingdom of God. Tell other people what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Seek to support prayerfully and practically the spread of the gospel throughout the world. Because we won't be able to say to Christ, oh, hang on, I haven't really confessed you to other people. I haven't told other people about you. Just wait a minute and give me a chance to do that. Or I'm not supporting the spread of the gospel throughout the world, so just hang on and wait while I do. That's too late. These servants in the parable couldn't say, oh, wait while we tie up these loose garments and we light the lamps. They had to be prepared and ready for when he came back. And we have to be prepared and ready for when Christ comes again. There'll be no saying to the Lord Jesus, well, just hang on. Will I put things right? Will I get things as they ought to be as a Christian? We won't be able to say, well, don't come. And just give me opportunity to repent and believe on Christ. Don't come. Just give me the opportunity to advance spiritually. Don't come. And just give me the opportunity to spread the gospel and seek the advancement of the kingdom of God. Many will be totally unprepared for Christ's coming. In the worst way possible, without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at all. But sadly also, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not seeking to be the people God tells us to be in his word. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Walk worthy of the Lord, lead a life fully pleasing to him. Follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. All these things that God tells us to do as Christians, we're not going to be able to suddenly stop his coming again, or stop even our deaths if it's our time has come in the will of God, and say, just hold on, God, give me another couple of years, hold on, Christ, don't come again, and I'll get my spiritual life where it ought to be, where it should be, where it needs to be. It needs to be there right now. And that's a terrible challenge to us all, isn't it? But right now, we need to seek to be advancing spiritually in his kingdom and seeking the advancement of his kingdom. Something my parents did in the province of God, they didn't know at the time. It was the best thing they ever did for me my whole life, and they hadn't got a clue that was the case. When I was four, they sent me down to the Sunday school in a church called Masterson Church. It's got a different name now, about 100 meters from our house. A lot of parents did that in those days. They sent the little ones along to Sunday school. And I went to the Sunday school and then the young people's meeting, and then started to go to the adult services at church, then came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in that church. And I and Jean were baptized in that church. We were married in that church. And that church sent us out to Bible college for training in the work of the gospel. And all the years I was in that church, from a little lad to the time when we left for Bible college, there was something written here on the back on the church wall. And it was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I remember reading that as a youngster and wondering what on earth it meant. And to a degree as a teenager. And then as a Christian, knowing what it meant. They're some of the most important words in the Bible. Jesus said, seek ye first, make this your priority, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those words are so important for life, for death, and for Christ coming again. The blessing of God in life and in death, and when Christ comes again, is had by everyone who truly does seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you do that, you can even look forward to the day you die or when Christ comes again. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you know why? You're prepared to die and meet with God. And you're prepared for Christ coming again. Because you've sought first the kingdom of God. You got admitted into it. You repented and believed on the Lord Jesus. You sought to advance in it, to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you sought the advancement of it by serving the Lord Jesus Christ, by making Christ known, by supporting the spread of the gospel throughout the world. Everyone who doesn't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness ultimately is neither ready to die nor ready for Christ coming again. And therefore we all need to take to heart the importance of these words. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.